Hi, everybody, and welcome to Two Out the First. It's May the 24th, 2023. Ryan Ballinger, good to have you with us for today's show. We've got a couple of things to talk about, some things around Brooks Koepka, a little bit around maybe the Ryder Cup piece of Brooks Koepka's win at the PGA Championship, a little bit about what he's been doing the last 72 hours, it feels like, since he's won the PGA Championship, and what that might mean for how he feels moving forward. Who knows? We'll talk about a little bit about that. And then I do want to get into Rose Zhang, actually. She's the best women's amateur player in the world, but she may not be that for much longer. We'll talk about that in the back half of the show. So let's start with Brooks Koepka, and let's start with how it relates to the PGA of America and the Ryder Cup. So by winning the PGA Championship for the third time, fifth major of his career, Koepka vaulted all the way up to second in the U.S. Ryder Cup team point standings, which seems to kind of put him in a position where it'd be really difficult to knock him out. However, there are two majors left. They offer double points to the winner. So if one of the better American players that's not on LIV wins, they could hypothetically vault up pretty heavily. They also, PGA Tour players do, have the benefit of earning points at PGA Tour events from here on out through the rest of the year. Koepka obviously does not have that. Still, winning a major championship gets you double points, and it's going to be pretty hard to knock Koepka out of the top six. Not saying it's not possible, but it's extremely unlikely, it feels like, at this point. And so there has to be this reckoning here for the PGA of America that has been, on one side of things, out of one side of their mouth, very anti-LIV. Seth Waugh has said, hey, you know, we've invited players to this championship for a reason, out of one side of his mouth, but in the same breath, he has said, but also, I don't think LIV's business model works. I don't think it helps golf, and I think it's bad. And that's his personal view. And then that's his professional view of saying, hey, but we invited you. We want you to be here. We want you to feel welcome because you are a competitor and we're looking for the best players in the world at our tournament. All makes sense. Except, you know, in trying to separate the personal opinion from the professional opinion, I guess, so to speak. And now that you've got the professional thing out there, you've said, hey, everyone is welcome at our championship if you're a LIV player and you qualify. Well, Brooks is on the verge of qualifying. And the PGA of America has been somewhat wishy-washy in saying whether LIV players would be able to compete. But they have come out and ultimately said, look, the LIV player gets on the team on points, they're going to play. If they're left to a captain's pick, Zach Johnson, who's the U.S. captain, can pick them. And that's okay with us. But they haven't, I don't think they've kind of thrust this out there in the way with, you know, the same gusto you might some kind of other Ryder Cup announcement. So it's kind of been like, yeah, he can play. But we're not really excited about it, you know. And they have kind of cornered themselves. They have said, hey, you're eligible. If you are eligible and you get in points, it is what it is. But they also have Zach Johnson at the same time as the American Ryder Cup captain who has said, I haven't really watched LIV events. I don't know where they play. I don't know anything about the courses. I haven't really watched them. It's kind of a way of trying to sidestep questions about whether he would pick Brooks Koepka if it came down to it, and that was before he won, or what that looks like for his team. And it made him sound bad, and we talked about that on this show. But now you've got this situation where he's going to make the team. I mean, even if he doesn't finish in the top six, you almost have to pick him. And not because it shouldn't be a controversial pick. Because you've said, if you can qualify on points, then you can qualify to be a pick. End of the story. So if he doesn't get picked by Zach Johnson, it looks really bad for the PGA of America because they've invited these players to their championship. He is the PGA of America's champion. He won their championship. It's not like he won a different major that they don't also run. And the representation piece of that is pretty important to them. It's important for them to have the PGA champion as part of the Ryder Cup if there's the they meet the qualification criteria. So this is really no matter what you think of LIV, and obviously I've made my opinions very clear on the subject, but the PGA of America has painted themselves into a corner, and there's really nothing that they can do about it. At this point, Brooks Koepka is going to be on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. End of story. And somehow, in the next several months, and we've got 3 months, really, until this team is decided. Zach Johnson's going to have to kind of find a way to come around and say, look, Brooks got here on points, or if he doesn't, Brooks earned his way on by being really strong at the Masters and winning the PGA Championship. Regardless of what happens to the other two majors, he can miss the cut in both for all I care. He's going to be on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. And there has been this strange debate, or manufactured debate, it's not even a real debate, over the last couple of days about, well, should he be on the team? Should he not be on the team? There was 40 seconds of really awkward television on Golf Channel between Brandel Chambly and Brad Faxon. And while in principle I tend to agree with Brandel Chambly's views about LIV, the reality of the situation more aligns with Brad Faxon, which is the PGA of America has laid out its criteria. They have said if you earn enough points, you're going to make the team on points. You can be picked. That's the end of it. There's no, oh, well, he plays on LIV, he can't play. They have created this situation for themselves. They need to kind of abide by that. And if they go back on it all of a sudden, then they're going to take a huge ton of backlash, even from people who are critical of LIV like me, because you put it out there and you said this is what's going to happen. And if you go back on it, it makes you look really terrible. I don't think they're going to do that. But you have this awkward television between Faxon and Chambly, and Faxon saying, look, it's just golf, man. It's an exhibition competition that's designed to put the best American players against the best European players. And Chambly says, so, you know, it's not about tour. It's not about the PGA Tour versus the DP World Tour. Although Chambly makes an interesting point. And his point was that for the European side, they have made it explicit, not just this time around, but for like the last 20 years, if not 40 years, that this is the best of the European Tour. Now DP World Tour has to offer is taking on the best American team. Because they have created a system, because they own a large, you know, they own half along with the PGA and of Europe and GB&I, all that stuff. But they own the most of it of the European side, that it funds their operations. So they have made it a point that they require DP World Tour membership to be considered for the European team. So technically, it is, at least has been, the best of the PGA Tour versus the best of the DP World Tour. And that has been designed by the European side. We've never really had that on this side because every American, pretty much of note, that's made the team has played on the PGA Tour. But you do have to have standing and be in good standing with the PGA of America, stuff like that, which, hey, Brooks still is. So Chambly does have a point that really this is, whether you like it or not, this is the best of the PGA Tour versus the best of the DP World Tour. And that's more semantic than anything. But at its core, the point of the Ryder Cup is to have the best European players and the best American players competing against one another. And however they determine that qualification criteria really fits more into the semantic of it actually is the best of the DP World Tour and the best of the PGA Tour, because the DP World Tour players are the only ones who are eligible for the European Ryder Cup team. They have the qualification criteria set up so that half of the automatic qualifiers come from the DP World Tour points list, half come from based on the world ranking. But guess what those players play predominantly? They play the PGA Tour. So it really is the best of the PGA Tour versus the best of the DP World Tour. It just is what it is. But I completely agree and understand with Faxon's viewpoint here that at the end of the day, this is what the competition is supposed to be at its core. However the rules decide, you get the points. If Brooks fits the system, he's in. And that's the end. And that's the way it's going to be. There is no debate about this. That all said, how about a hell of a 72 hours for Brooks Koepka? I mean, obviously had a great celebration after winning the PGA Championship. Had probably an incredible night down. I mean, I don't know if he flew back right away. I imagine he probably didn't fly back right away, but probably had a nice night at Oak Hill or, you know, in nearby Rochester and enjoying some time at whatever house he was renting for the week. And I think there were some photos out there of beers or other imbibing out of the Wanamaker Trophy, which is absolutely to be expected. Flies home, and then the next night is at the Florida Panthers game. He's apparently a huge Florida Panthers fan. Who knew? A big NHL fan going into this year, although we've seen him very visible at the games this year that he's been to. And now he's got the Wanamaker, and he, you know, obviously having a great week, great celebration, as he should. It's been 4 years since a major championship win. Probably thought he'd never get back. He's on a personal high, right? Well, then there's the footage of him clapping for like 26 seconds without blinking at the Panthers game. And obviously that created a whole lot of insinuation about what Koepka might also be doing at the same time while he is at the Panthers game. Hey, that's up to you, man. Just please don't hurt anybody, whatever you're doing. And then last night, he was at the Miami Heat game courtside. Heat lost game four, going for a sweep against the Boston Celtics, but he was there. And there is another Panther game tonight, so there's a very good chance he's going to be in the same arena one more time as they try to keep going on the playoffs, and they've been tremendous throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, I mean, he's on a bender. I don't know what's included in that bender, but he's on a bender, which means he's supposed to be here in my neck of the woods by sometime Friday to play in the live event in the DC area. I'm guessing he might show up like Thursday afternoon, maybe Thursday morning. I don't know. He can fly a private jet 3.5 hours, but I don't think he's going to be especially worried about the outcome this week on this live event. And that makes the live schedule for maybe the first time really weird for a player who's seen success in a major, right? Because you're contracted to play all of them. If he did not have to play all of them, he would easily WD here and there would be no thought about this in the PGA Tour. He just wouldn't play and be like, yeah, sorry, Colonial. I'm going to go on a week or a month-long bender. See you guys at the U.S. Open, which I think pretty much any reasonable person would probably do if they were in a similar situation to Koepka. And now he's expected to come up to this tournament, and not that I feel bad for him. He's got paid off for it, but it's probably not going to be a whole lot of fun for him. So if you are interested in wagering against him, there are ways to do that if you have some financial incentive to get take advantage of some information that we all now have as public viewers of the world to know that Brooks Koepka is still probably very celebrating very hard that he won the Wanamaker. I did want to point out something I thought was interesting. I think it's worth a discussion point too. Friend of the show, Garrett Johnston, who's done some work for me at GNN as a writer, does a good job, does his own golf podcast as well, Beyond the Clubhouse. And he tweeted to a mixed reaction. I want to talk about the reaction to it, that Greg Norman is not going to be doing interviews this week ahead of Live Golf DC. And he really hasn't done much public talking recently because the Live folks know every time he talks publicly, he says something that has to get pulled back or massaged or what have you, and it doesn't really look very good. I think they have successfully gotten Norman out of the way, at least of making things worse, but it's not like the good news train is rolling here, and I think Brooks winning doesn't do a whole ton for Liv, because I don't think people perceive him in the same way as a Liv guy. I mean, they know he plays Liv, right? But they just don't perceive him in the same way. That doesn't mean he's not involved. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about Liv. I'm not saying any of that. He's just not perceived that way. So, is that going to create a whole ton of curiosity for people to watch? No, I don't think so. I think Memorial Day weekend's also kind of really awkward for a golf tournament. That's why the Memorial isn't really played on Memorial Day weekend anymore. It's played the week after for that reason. So, I don't know what's going to come in the next few days. I mean, I know this is a very liberal area where I live, very progressive area. Obviously, no love lost for Trump, no love lost for the Saudis. No love lost for the traffic to get to the venue. We'll see what happens there. But I imagine Brooks Koepka is not too thrilled about the prospect of having to play 3 days of golf when he's got a whole lot of celebrating to do. Okay, let's talk about Rose Zhang. Rose Zhang is the best women's collegiate player of all time, probably in the top 5 to 10 of best collegiate players, period, of all time. She completed her career. Well, it sounds like she's completed her career with a win to complete a back-to-back run of NCAA championships. She made a great comeback in the final round. It didn't look good for a little while, and then she finished it off, got the win to go back-to-back. So now she has, I believe, tied for the most wins in a collegiate career, which is pretty incredible. I think it's like 12 or 50. I mean, an insane number of wins for someone in a collegiate career. And she's not even, just barely halfway through it. And she's just crushing it. So congratulations to her. Unfortunately for Stanford, they got knocked out by USC, rather. It's going to be an interesting finale, and shout out to Tiffany Joe, the coaching job that she's been doing as being part of that team, which is really cool to see. But it'll be Wake in the final with Emilia Migliaccio, whose show, actually, she co-hosts the Bridgestone Golf, another golf podcast that airs on GNN Radio. She co-hosts it on their podcast. But she's I assume this is her last stand in college golf. I think she's maybe a senior, super senior, like a COVID senior kind of thing. I think that's it for her. So this would be a hell of a way to go out. She made, I think, an eagle from 75 yards yesterday, holing out with a wedge, which was pretty cool in match play. It should be compelling TV if you want to watch it. It's on Golf Channel this evening out west. But Rose Zhang's going to turn pro. And I think it's Grant Boone from Golf Channel who reported this first. She's going to turn pro for next week. So next week on the LPGA is a tournament called the Mizuho Americas Open or Americas Classic or whatever. But it's at Liberty National Golf Club in New Jersey. It's the first year for this event. It's a $3 million tournament. It has a cool component to it with junior golf tied into it. But the first year event is a big deal. I mean, have a $3 million purse to kick off your career. And so there's no real reason to wait for Rose Zhang, except for the fact that she has a berth into the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach, first time at Pebble Beach, because she is the world number one amateur. So for Rose Zhang, that means she has a spot in the field already. If she were to turn pro, she immediately relinquishes that because you still have to be an amateur player to take the exemption she got for being the Mark McCormick Medal Award winner, basically for being the number one player on the women's side of the world amateur golf ranking. So there's a very realistic possibility she loses a spot in the U.S. Women's Open to become a professional, but this is the start of a big run. She could take 7 opportunities to play. She could play her way into other tournaments. She wants to avoid, obviously, like any pro that comes out of college, male or female, wants to avoid having to go to a Q school or playing a year on a developmental tour. So if she can get on the right track out of the gate, she can set herself up to maybe, even if she plays well enough, get into the CME Group Tour Championship and do some damage there and get off to a very lucrative start to her career. I mean, she's absolutely incredible. She won the Augusta National Women's Am. She's won 2 NCAAs. She won at least a dozen individual tournaments in just a couple of years at Stanford, which was absolutely loaded team. Pretty amazing that they wound up losing to not get to the final, not get to the championship. But she's done it all. And I actually hope that the USGA comes through for her with an exemption if she turns pro and gives her a spot in this field. It would be incomplete without her. And I think the distinction between having an exemption and must remain an amateur to take it versus turning pro, maybe there needs to be an amendment there to the rules of amateur status where, if you have an exemption into a U.S. Open or a similar kind of tournament predicated on being an amateur, that you can maintain it for, 30 days after turning pro, because then you would say, okay, well, maybe she waits 2 weeks and goes at the ShopRite as her first event as a pro, and then she can still get into the U.S. Women's Open for the amateur award. Otherwise, that spot's gone, right? That player's not playing because the person who held the exemption can't take it. So it's a wasted exemption. I think there's a reason here to say, hey, look, generational player turns pro. The way the calendar works, she needs to get started on making money to try to get her card for the LPGA for 24. Let's work something out. And I think that'll work out in the end. I think it'll be good. Congratulations to Rose Zhang on an incredible career. She seems, by all accounts, a great person. Covered her a little bit a couple of years ago when the U.S. Girls Junior AM was here at Columbia Country Club in the area. Saw her from behind the scenes multiple times, not only having lunch with lots of different players, not just a couple of people or her entourage or her family or whatever, encouraging a lot of players, being really positive. She just seems like a nice person, someone pleasant to be around. A lot of people like her. So someone easy to root for going forward. Hopefully she crushes it right out of the gate as a professional. That's going to do it for us today on 2 at the First. Thank you so much for watching the show or listening to it. Catch us on a podcast platform. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Helps us reach more people. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button. Consider subscribing to our channel. Leave a comment. Happy to hear from you. Catch us via some other fashion, whether that's on Golf News Net Radio, on our TV apps, somewhere else somehow. Thanks for spending some part of your day with us. We appreciate it. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Round out the week. Actually, tomorrow's Thursday. It's not Friday. We're the week on Friday. Do another show tomorrow. Kick off Colonial. We've got a whole bunch of tournaments on the docket this week, including the Senior PGA Championship out of PGA Frisco, which will be the first I think I've seen that on TV, which I think will be a fun watch. We'll see that venue much more in the future for the PGA Championship. LPGA Match Play, which is underway, which would be great. And a full slate of golf to talk about in the next couple of days. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time. See you next time on 2 of the First.